Our scripture reading for today is found in the Gospel according to Luke. We're going to be looking at chapter 8, verses 26 through 39. Then they sailed to the country of the Gennesarenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And when he came out onto the land, he was met by a man from the city who was possessed with demons, who had not put on any clothing for a long time and was not living in a house, but in the tombs. Seeing Jesus, he cried out and fell before him and said in a loud voice, "What business do you have with us, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For he had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man, for it had seized him many times, and he was bound with chains and shackles and kept under guard. Yet he would break the bonds and be driven by the demon into the desert. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they were imploring him not to command them to go away into the abyss. But now there was a herd of many swine feeding there on the mountain, and the demons implored him to permit them to enter into the swine, and he gave them permission. And the demons came out of the man and entered the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and were drowned. When the herdsmen saw what had happened, they ran away and reported it in the city and out in the country, and the people went out to see what had happened. And they came to Jesus and found the man with whom the demons had gone out sitting down at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind, and they became frightened. Those who had seen it reported to them how the man who was demon-possessed had been made well, and all the people of the country of the Gennesarenes and the surrounding district asked him to leave them, for they were gripped with fear, and he got into the boat and returned. But the man with whom the demons had gone out was begging him that he might accompany him, but he sent him away, saying, "Return to your house. Describe what great things God has done for you." So he went away, proclaiming throughout the whole city what great things Jesus had done for him. The word of the Lord. Please be seated, and well done. So, it is summer, which means that it is also the time and season of summer blockbusters. We actually, last night, went to see Toy Story 4, which was pretty awesome. Yeah, now, how many of you are familiar with Toy Story? How many of you looking forward to Toy Story 4 if you have not seen it? It's pretty cool. I will say Toy Story 4 was a good time. A few tears shed, right, here and there, by me, mainly. Because, you know, these are things that my kids have loved since childhood. And so as a father, I mean, the first Toy Story came out in 1995. You know, so I had my kids, like my Taylor's very first movie was Toy Story 2. He loved Toy Story, and Toy Story 2 opens with Buzz Lightyear and Taylor just eating popcorn watching Buzz Lightyear on the screen. Like, this is amazing. And like a summer blockbuster is so much fun. My summer blockbuster that I remember as a kid that absolutely radically changed my life was not Toy Story, but Star Wars. Yeah, some of you answered that question already. I heard somebody go, "Star Wars." You know, because you know, like you're looking and you know how old I am, and you go, "I bet it was Star Wars." Star Wars absolutely revolutionized my life and my imagination. Everything felt epic from that opening orchestral blast. You know, I mean, you're sitting there and you just see Lucasfilm. You know, come on and it's real quiet and you know what happens. I'm not going to try it. You might be able to play it. I'm not even going to, like, it just kind of blasts forward and you are shook out of your seat and your heart starts racing. And then the credits start rolling. They kind of tell you what the story that you're about to experience. It is so exciting. It's the ultimate hero's journey. And it not only changed me, but I will argue it changed childhood forever. Because, see, prior to Star Wars, see, I grew up without Star Wars. I wasn't super little when Star Wars came out. But, you know, you go out and you play in the yard and you find a stick. What does that stick become?
A lightsaber.
Right. Prior to Star Wars, what was it?
A stick.
It was a stick. No, it was a sword. Yeah, it was a sword. I became a pirate. I might be a musketeer. Like, we were still swinging it at people, you know, regardless of what happened. But after Star Wars, it had sound effects. Zoom, zoom. And you were a little slower with it. Zoom. Because that's how it changed. It totally revolutionized. There is no ching, ching, none of that anymore. Kids make lightsaber sounds when they pick up sticks. It totally revolutionized who we were as children. You know, that this year coming, ends what Star Wars fans have called the Skywalker saga. It is the ninth Star Wars movie that is coming out. Ninth. Like, you're talking about like Toy Story 4. This is Star Wars 9. And it's not even like, right, like there have been many Star Wars stories, but this is the ninth in what is called the Skywalker saga because it all surrounds Luke Skywalker. Yes. Yeah, so some of you have seen Star Wars. All right. All right. How many of you, by the way, just sheer curiosity, have never seen a Star Wars movie ever? Okay. All right. All right. We may have Star Wars night here. Not, oh yeah, and we're playing the theme song. Yeah. We may do just all, like, we could stay here all night and just watch all, like, 8 movies so that you can get ready. It would be like 13 hours of film. It would be wonderful. But I will say that any hero's journey, this greatness that has absolutely changed culture, almost died within the first 30 minutes of the movie when you meet Luke and he's confronted with a question. And I thought, way more interesting than me telling you about it, I am wondering, among the Star Wars fans, do I have any people willing to do a short dramatic reading with me of a scene from Star Wars? Raise your hand if you're willing to do that with me. Really? All right, we got a couple. All right, come on up. All right, come on up. No, you two both? Yeah, come on up. Yeah, absolutely. Okay. Everybody, I want you to meet Obi-Wan Kenobi. All right, right here. This is Obi-Wan. Obi-Wan, come on up right here. And you are Luke. I'm going to bring you a microphone, Luke. Yeah. Go ahead. Yeah, you can. All right, there we go. All right, so I'm going to be the director of the scene. All right, so in this scene, what has happened is Luke's family, Luke is living in this world, this kind of deserty world, terrible, and all Luke wants to do is get away to the academy and become a pilot. That's what he wants to do. And he's complaining like, oh, I got to stay here, I've got a farm, I've got blah, 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 I got to do all this stuff. I want to get away, but there's responsibilities he has. His family buys this little robot in Star Wars language, it's called a droid. Thank you very much. But for the uninitiated, it's a little robot. All right. So he buys this little robot, and this robot has this message, this video message that comes out, and it's a princess, Princess Leia. And she is calling for somebody called Obi-Wan Kenobi to come to Alderaan to help fight the Empire. It is a dramatic scene. And so Luke says, well, maybe she's talking about this guy, this hermit, Ben Kenobi. And he finds him. And then they play the message, and then there's a scene. So after the scene where Princess Leia is talking about how much they need help from Obi-Wan Kenobi to come to Alderaan to save them, Ben, Obi-Wan Kenobi, right here, turns to Luke, and they have this dialogue.
You must learn the ways of the Force if you're to come with me to Alderaan.
Alderaan? I'm not going to Alderaan. I gotta go home. It's late. I'm in for it as it is.
I need your help, Luke. She needs your help. I'm getting too old for this sort of thing.
Listen, I can't get involved. I got work to do. It's not that I like the Empire. I hate it, but there's nothing I can do about it right now. It's such a long way from here.
That's your uncle talking.
Oh boy, my uncle. How am I ever going to explain this?
Learn about the Force, Luke.
Look, I can take you as far as Anchorhead, and then you can get a transport there to Mos Eisley or wherever you're going.
You must do what you feel is right, of course.
Well done, bravo, thank you. Thank you, thank you. Ooh.
Is there a Tony involved with this?
Yes, there should be. Though, that tells you the musician is, you know, the Broadway musician is saying that there'd be a Tony for Star Wars.
This was live
theater. Gotcha. Yes. Well done, our players. I have to admit, I got chills when Jim starts reading Obi-Wan Kenobi's lines. Boy, that was intense. Yeah, so you get the scene. So basically, you got young Luke Skywalker and the older mentor is saying, come and learn the ways of the Force. You're going to go and enter into this bigger world. By the way, your dad was a great Jedi, and here you have your own actual lightsaber. It's not a stick. You get your own actual lightsaber. You are more than you are. And the resistance that Luke has as he goes back and he starts talking about the responsibilities of the world he was talking about wanting to leave anyway. But then when it became the reality of realizing his world was bigger than he ever imagined it would be, he has all kinds of excuses, right? And he says, it's not like I like the Empire. I hate it. But I just can't get involved right now. When I read our passage for this morning, and it is, it's one of those passages that's kind of a lot for the modern reader to take in. You know, there are demons, and there's multiple demons, and then there's pigs, and the pigs all go over a cliff. There's a lot for us to take in. But the part that I wanted us to focus in on is the townspeople. And when I read their reaction, the first thing I thought of was this scene in Star Wars. About how when you're given something that for generations of the young have impacted us, we've all wanted to be Luke Skywalker. I mean, I wanted to be Han Solo, but most of us wanted to be Luke Skywalker. And we wanted to be able to go out there with the lightsaber. We wanted to save the galaxy. We all wanted to do it. And here in this moment, Luke is literally saying, I think I might pass. Can you imagine if you were told who you were, that you are a Jedi, and that you have the opportunity, if you so choose, to come with Obi-Wan Kenobi to Alderaan and save the princess? Are you kidding me? Of course. He would say, Michael, and I'd be like, yep, I'm in. Like, yeah, sign me up. Like, where do I sign? You don't even... Wait, let me finish my... Nope, no need to. I am going with you. You know, these people in this story had Jesus hit their shores. The story right before this is Jesus calming the storm. You know, Jesus, as he's where with his disciples, and the storm comes up, and they find themselves about to perish, and Jesus does that... Peace be with you. When he says to the disciples, hey, we're going to go to the other side of the lake. This is the other side of the lake that they were going to. Meets this guy who is clearly not in his right mind. And when it all comes down to it, Jesus not only demonstrated his ability to calm the seas and the storms and to get us where he promises he will get us, but he also has the ability to overcome that which terrifies us, that which haunts us. You know, when these town people come out, I would expect the reaction of, wow, this is amazing, because this is somebody who has terrified us for generations. It's been this ghoul that has hung out in the graveyards, and we tell our children not to play too close, and we can hear his howling in the night, and it's chilling, and this is so wonderful. Jesus, thank you so much. Now we realize that there's a power among us. We don't even care that These pigs are gone. The pigs give us an indication, by the way, that this is not either not a Jewish community or not a real faithful Jewish community. Because these are herding pigs. So you've already got people who clearly have created some kind of tense relationship in the world around them. They have constructed a world that, while not ideal, has kind of kept them safe. They have a tense peace, a fragile alliance with the oppressive world around them. And maybe that's what causes such a strong reaction. When they see that Jesus is here and that Jesus has the ability to calm that which fears that they fear, and that has the clearly cleared away some of the things that causes this compromise, this tension, they realize that the power that they have here is more than they want to deal with. That they realize that real change, real transformation, the real presence of God is really truly here on their shores, and they have a chance to change. But I can hear them now. The kingdom of God? No, I'm not doing that. See, we work for the empire. Maybe they say, it's not that I like the empire, I hate it. But there's nothing I can do about that right now, just like Luke said. Because of the presence of Jesus meant that something was going to change. And it probably wasn't going to be easy change. My guess is that whoever owned these pigs or the supplier that was going to buy these pigs was going to come looking for these pigs. And they weren't going to have them. Trouble was going to come to the shore because of the presence of Jesus. And that's not something that they wanted. They preferred their dissatisfying balance more than the grace that was there with them. You know, the Bible is filled with stories of people choosing a powerless life, of resignation or collaboration with injustice, with that uncomfortable tension with the world around them. The opportunity to receive the real presence of God in our lives does cost us, and it costs us greatly. But what we get in exchange for the cost is immeasurably greater than what we spent. I always respect those who need some help in believing. I've always been that kind of person that need a little help to believe. And Jesus does those demonstrations of who Jesus is to give us that little bit of help in believing. But sometimes even when we find that Jesus is really truly revealed in our lives, we still choose to send Jesus away, being satisfied with our carefully curated world. And sometimes, admittedly, our carefully curated churches. But you are more powerful than you know. And when I talk about power, I don't mean the power like we see wielded across the world, where it's might and where it's strength and where it's something that you lord over people. But inside of you, you have the power to bring peace and compassion and kindness and healing and grace to our world. You do have that power. We are not people that live in a shortage. But it's sometimes more easy to say, well, the pastors, those are the people that are trained, or the musicians, those are the people that do things, or I'm not as gifted, I'm not as talented, I'm not as this or as that. When the presence of God around you says, no, I have equipped you, I have gifted you, I have made you exactly what is needed in this moment right now. And yes, it's going to cost, but I can promise you, if you let me into your life and let me do what I want to do in your life, that the world around you will begin to transform. I want to leave you with a poem. The first part of it will be familiar to a lot of you. It actually gets falsely attributed to Nelson Mandela. It was never spoken by Nelson Mandela. It was by Marianne Williamson. It's from a poem called Our Deepest Fear. Our deepest fear is not that we are inadequate. Our deepest fear is that we are powerful beyond measure. It is our light, not our darkness, that most frightens us. We ask ourselves, who am I to be brilliant, gorgeous, talented, or fabulous? Actually, who are you not to be? You are a child of God. Your playing small does not serve the world. There is nothing enlightened about shrinking so that other people won't feel insecure around you. We are all meant to shine as children do. We were born to make manifest the glory of God that is within us. It is not just some of us. It is in everyone. As we let our own light shine, we unconsciously give other people permission to do the same. As we're liberated from our own fear, our presence automatically liberates others. I love that poem because it reminds me of the church. If we allowed God, when God shows up on our shores, to be God in our presence, and we discover the gift of God that is inside of us, and we start living out that gift of God, it frees the people in your family to live out their gift of God. You know why most people don't live out their gifts? Because the people around them aren't living out their gifts. And they're afraid to move and to step out because we kind of stay within the crowd. But what if we were a community that all lived inside of our gifts? Can you imagine? Can you imagine what would happen? I think about what would have happened to these people if when all the pigs ran over and they realized this guy was healed, if they would have said, the grace of God has come to our shores. We are willing to go. Instead, the grace of God has come to our shores. Are we willing to go? Amen.